So this talk, the first part of my talk is about image segmentation with applications to MRI brain data tissue classification. And this is joint work with Jason Chang. He's here, he's finishing his PhD thesis this quarter here at UCLA. And the second part of my talk is devoted to another problem in image processing, which is inspired from image restoration, and it has connections with what we can call image decompositions into cartoon and texture. And this is joint work with several people: Trent Lee, Lin Yu, John Garnett, Peter Jones, and Eve Meyer. So here, just I want to recall briefly what we mean by image segmentation. So given a data F defined on omega taking real values, so this will be given throughout the talk. So omega is this domain. So in image processing, it is important to partition the image domain into regions such that these regions would represent objects in the image. So in the simplest case, we can try to partition the image by regions omega I, such that the function f, the data f given, will vary smoothly within each omega I, and will vary strongly on the boundaries, across the boundaries of this omega I. So again, in general, and as inspired by many other models, like the Manfred and Chow model, we would like to partition this domain in a union of unknown domains omega I with imposing some optimal criteria. And Guillermo is an expert in segmentation and active contours and the famous geodesic active contour model, for those who are not familiar with image processing. So the first part of my talk today about image segmentation is based on the Manfred and Schunk model for image partitioning. And so here I mentioned the piecewise constant Manfred and Schunk model for image segmentation. So this is a functional minimization. So the data F is given, and this tries, as I was saying for my previous slide, tries to find optimal piecewise constant approximations of the data F. So we would like to find constant Ci. Actually, this will turn out to be the averages of the function F on each region omega I. So the unknowns are the regions omega I, and U, a piecewise constant function, taking a constant Ci inside each omega I. And there is an additional term, regularization, by imposing that, for example, in two dimensions, imposing that the length measure or the Hausdorff measure is the total measure of the boundaries of omega I is finite, is as small as possible. So it is difficult to solve this problem in practice. It is a non-convex minimization. It has an unknown of lower dimension, the union of these boundaries, and it's not easy to propose regularizations. So I will directly mention related work for region-based segmentation and level set representation and minimization for Manfred and Chow functional and related models. So in a prior joint work with Tony Chen, we have proposed a level set approach, a multi-phase level set approach, to minimize various variants of the Manfred and Schunk functional for segmentation. And here I mentioned related work. Now, the main idea of what I'm going to mention today is to use, is to use several level lines of the same function phi to represent unknown boundaries versus the standard approach in the level set theory to use just one level line of that function. And this is inspired from material science, from an application where in epitaxial growth, Einstein's dynamic model with a level set formulation for epitaxial growth developed here by co-authors at UCLA. So here I just briefly recall what we call the level set method introduced by Osher and Satian. So in a planar domain, for example, in two dimensions, we can represent implicitly a union of curves. So curves that would be that have to be boundaries of open domains. So these yellow curves are can be represented by a function phi by the zero level line of some function phi defined on the whole domain taking real values. And so we can also associate the time to this problem, and we can represent evolution of curves and of surfaces by a family of level set functions phi of t and x. So at every fixed time t, the zero level line of the function phi would represent the free boundaries, the unknown involving boundaries. In our prior work with Tony Chen and myself, so we have used the level set method to partition images based on the Mumford and Shah model. So for example, if we use one level set function phi, we can partition these into two domains. Each domain can have disconnected components. If we use two level set functions, we can partition a domain into up to four disjoint regions, and so on. So we call this a multi-phase level set representation of the different segments in images. So for what I will introduce today is the work of Jason Chang. So we can use more than just one level line for the same function phi, and this will give a more efficient representation and fewer level set functions as unknowns in the minimization. So for example, here if we use two level lines of the same function phi, we can partition these into three regions. If we use, for example, three different level lines of a continuous function phi, we can partition into up to four nested regions. In order to be able to represent triple junctions and other more complex topologies, we can use two level set functions, phi 1 and phi 2, and for example, each one using two different level lines, and this would partition an image into up to nine regions. And this appears to be more efficient than our previous multi-phase approach. So using the level set function, we can define various geometric or various measures and quantities that are needed in our calculations. So again, if a function phi defined on omega taking values in R is given, then first we introduce the Heaviside function. So h of phi would be 1 if the function phi is positive and 0 if the function is negative. So for example, if we don't have this L here, h of phi would be the characteristic function of the interior of the zero level line of the function phi. So we can also represent the area in this way. Of course, the area of, so usually we are used to write here the zero level line, this would be the interior. So here this is the interior of the L, some L level line of the function phi. The total variation of the Heaviside function gives us a formula for the boundary measure, the length measure in two dimensions of the perimeter. So it will give us the perimeter, and we can also compute averages of the data F over various domains, and we will also use the delta function as the derivative of the Heaviside function in the distributional sense. In our calculations, we will use smooth approximations to the Heaviside function. So as extension of the joint work with Tony Chen, so thus we can formulate minimizations of particular cases of the Mumford and Shah model in the piecewise constant case, and using several level lines of the same function phi. So here, this is just an example. So if we have again a given data F, and we choose here, we work with two levels, 0 and L. These are given levels. So this will allow us to partition the image into three nested regions. And here we choose the piecewise constant optimal criteria. So we want each region, inside each region, F to be the data F to be well approximated by a constant. And because here we are using the L2 data fidelity terms, these constants turn out to be the averages of the function f inside each region. And here this will give us, this expression will give us the segmented image in the end. So we can minimize this. So now the difficulty of, so we have transformed, so in other words, what I want to mention, that we have transformed a particular case of the Manfredonian energy into a representation where all the terms have integral representation, and we can now directly minimize these functional and similar functionals by computing, directly computing the Euler Lagrange equations that's associated with the minimization, and this was not, we could not do this directly for the Manfredonian problem. So here we can minimize this functional with respect to C1, C2, C3, and the level set function phi, which would be the representation for the unknown boundaries, and this will give us averages of the data f for the constant ci on each segment, and one nonlinear PDE that has curvature terms for the level set function phi. We can also use more than only two level lines, so we can work with n level lines of the same function phi to partition images through such minimizations. So this would partition into n plus one regions, nested regions in some sense. We can write the associated Euler Lagrange equations, and we can also, as I have mentioned earlier, we can also use two level set functions, phi one and phi two, with various numbers of level lines. We don't want too many, then the minimization might become more complicated. But so today I will concentrate only, I will show numerical results only with the first, the simple representation. So so here we see segmentation of this blood cells image using one level set function phi and two levels, two different levels. So this is segmented into three regions. So we show evolution of these evolving two unknown evolving contours that evolve in a coupled way. And here, the segmented image from an initial guess to a minimizer that could be local or global minimizer. So this is another example where, again, here in this example, using two level lines of the same function phi to segment this similar image, and an application to, and I will continue with an application to MRI brain data. This is not MRI data, this is brain data which can be segmented in two dimensions using one level set function phi and two levels. So here we impose in advance how many regions we write to segment. So here we write to segment this gray region and the dark region and the background into the white background. So this shows evolution of the two coupled level lines. And so we can apply this method to the partition of, actually I should show some image. So we can apply this method to the partition of volumetric MRI brain data into three regions, into three anatomical regions, white matter, gray matter, and CSF. Here I already show what we can get. So this is data. These are slices of a three-dimensional volumetric data. This is a manual segmentation done by experts in the lab. This is joint work with Jason Chung, Arth Tova, and Ivolinov from Loni, and there will be a visit of the Loni lab and the reception and Boston session tomorrow afternoon. And this is segmentation using this multi-layer nested approach, using just one level set function phi and two nested levels. And we have simply modified the energy by using a characteristic function of the brain region. So here we only segment the interior of the brain, we don't segment the background, the black background, and we use only one level set function phi and two levels to segment into the gray matter, white matter, and the cerebrospinal fluid. And these are measures that will give us an idea about the, so assessments of the quality of the segmentation, and these values, if they are close to one, then this would, if this would be a good segmentation.
So the mu is pretty big.
Mu,
right.
Sorry. Yes, here, the mu, I don't know exactly the value of mu here. So the coefficient mu that is in the front of the surface area of the evolving, the two evolving surfaces has a scaling role. If mu is larger than only only larger objects, but fewer larger objects will be detected. If mu is smaller, then we can also detect many small objects.
Oh, I'm sorry, mu, I mean just the opposite of what I said. Mu is small.
Well, probably, yes. I don't remember exactly what the what value of mu we have here. It is possible to, actually, yeah, I want to make a little bit of time. So this concludes the first part of my talk, which is devoted to image segmentation. I have shown only a few examples for image partitioning and with applications to MRI brain data for tissue classification into white matter, gray matter, and CSF.
Can I ask a question about the first part? They have, been at least theoretically, Ambrose and others have studied variations of the Mumford-Shah, where instead of the length, you look at the total curvature at the boundary and things like that. Do you know if anybody has looked at that model?
You mean like the Euler elastica or?
Yes, I mean, instead of just penalizing for the length,
yes.
you put that term which is penalizing for elastic or yes, or even replacing the length term.
Yes.
Do you know if that has
this
been
was done using the region growing and merging by Casales, Morel, and first Mumford, Nisberg, and Sciotta, they have a method to minimize this, but not based on Ambrosio-Giorgioli approximations.
But they use it for they didn't use it for segmentation, or did they use it for segmentation?
Oh, you mean
The same formulation that you have, but replacing
yes.
the heavy side by
yes.
elastica or something like
actually,
that.
Actually, I think in our group, Tony Chen might have done this, and some of his former students. That's a good point. So indeed, additional regularization can be imposed by imposing a penalty on the curvature of the level lines.
Okay.
Yes. Actually, my student Jason Chang, so we have tested, but I wanted to leave out this detail. So right now we impose a regularization in what I have presented today. We impose a regularization of the length term expressed using the total variation. We have tested other regularizations which would act on all level lines, for example, even H1 regularization like that, or the N infinity Laplace term. So we can put this as regularization, and we have also tested slightly more isotropic regularizations than the curvature in the square Laplacian and V2, as it were. But others have included this term in segmentation. So, well, I don't remember exactly the names right now.
Yes. Related question. Can you comment a little bit about what is the implicit constraints you're putting in by doing this multiple level
in
the topology of your
yes. So here in the examples that I have shown today, but we have other examples, so this imposes some type of nested structure inclusion of the level lines. But we can, actually we have other results where we can use two level set functions with two levels, each level set function with two different level lines to detect more complex structures, for example, with junctions, with triple junctions. But in the images that I have shown, we have, so these curves are nested because of the inclusion of the level lines.
Do you have any general result of what is the, how much you would need for general region-based kind of thing? Anything general?
We have estimates about this. I did not include those in my talk. I can give you more details. We actually, in some of our numerical results, we have here, and these coefficients can be obtained automatically by imposing, actually, like in a prior work of Davis and Rousseau and others, where you impose some probability of the of a prior, you impose a prior on the on these terms, and this can be done also here.
I was more thinking about a data driven way. You have data and you can be
yes.
And try and predict them.
Yes, exactly.
Use that
so this can be done, yes. For some cases we have done this.
Mm-hmm.
But I left out those parameters just to have a simplified presentation. So I will switch now to the second part of my talk, which is slightly different. It is still using energy minimization for another application in image processing. And this is inspired, of course, from image restoration, for example, denoising or decomposing an image into a true unknown image and the degradation noise, additive noise, for example. And this can lead also to what we call image decomposition into cartoon and texture. And this is joint work with also Tredley and Liu, former students here at UCLA. They are in the audience, and Jason Chang, who contributed worked on the multilayer segmentation approach, and this is also joint work with several collaborators, John Garden from UCLA, Peter Jones that everybody knows, and Yves Meyer from Ecole Normale Supérieure de Cachan. So here the problem is, so the general formulation of the problem can be done in the following way. So we assume again that f is a given data, this is a function in some space of functions. And we could try to, so we can say that the function, this function f, belongs to the sum of two functional spaces. And we can try to find optimal decompositions of the function f into a sum u plus v. So here we assume only two terms, more than two terms can be used. So optimal decompositions, and optimal in some way. So such that first the function, so u belongs to the space x1, and v belongs to the space x2. And this can be done by minimization, for example, minimizing the sum of two terms f1 of u plus f2 of v. So if f1 of u is finite, this means that the function u belongs to the space x1. If f2 of v is finite, this means that the function v belongs to the space x2. So f1 and f2 could be, for example, the norms associated with two Banach spaces, two norm spaces x1 and x2. And we can minimize, so again, f1 of u plus f2 of v under the constraint f is equal with u plus v. And this can be written in just an unconstrained minimization, minimizing f1 of u plus f2 of f minus u without constraint over u belonging to x1. And of course, you want, you would like to choose the spaces x1 and x2 and the functionals f1 and f2 such that you obtain some desired properties, some separations for the two components u and v. And you would like this, so therefore, since this is done into a minimization approach, you would like the optimal components u and v to have small values, f1 of u to be small if u will be optimal, and f2 of v to be small as well. So I will give examples related to image processing of such image separations or function separation or function decomposition. So for example, in image denoising, if f is a data, and this data can be seen, a noisy data that can be obtained by having an unknown image u plus additive noise, then we can view the denoising method of f can be seen also as a decomposition of this noisy data f into u plus v. U would be the true unknown image, so here this is a numerical calculation, and v would represent the additive noise. So this can be seen as an image decomposition model into two components u and v. Another example is decomposing functions of f, which this could be real or synthetic images, which have both structure and texture. And this can be decomposed into what we call the cartoon components, so a simplified geometric version of the image f, and a texture or an oscillatory component. So this is another example. And This is an example borrowed from Song Chun-ju from UCLA and David Mumford from Brown, where in their work they have, so here I only show two data F, these images, and they wanted to separate, so these images in fact are images of buildings that are occluded by trees, so they wanted to separate the trees from the buildings. So this, so we could say that this is a U component, and this would be also a U component. The V component would be cluttered here, for example, trees. And applications of such image decomposition models can be seen to image restoration for denoising. Imaging painting, actually, with Guillermo, we have a joint work where such decomposition methods can be applied for imaging painting, also separation of scales, image simplification, and so on. So the work that I will present today is inspired by lecture notes of Yves Meyer, where he looked in more details to the total variation minimization model of Rudinoscher-Fantini that was originally proposed for image restoration, and he proposed new ideas, and the difficulty is in fact how to realize in practice his ideas. So our starting point is again the model that we have seen yesterday, but here is the original model with the L2 norm, so introduced by Rudinoscher-Fantini for image restoration. So given a data F, we would like to denoise, for example, this data F by trying to obtain an optimal approximation U that is a function of bounded variation, and such that U is close to F here in the L2 norm, in the L2 distance. So by minimizing such a convex energy, it is easier to work with this functional instead of the Mumford and Shah functional. So we can view this minimization method as a decomposition method by saying that we minimize this functional over here, and so with respect to the unknowns U and V under the constraint that F is U plus V. So here we just introduce the notation that V is in fact F minus U. And so now here this can be called an image or a function decomposition into U plus V. So it has been known, and it has been noticed by Yves Meyer as well in his lecture notes and by other authors, that so the TV minimization method does a very good job of denoising images, and especially piecewise constant images. It has a small drawback, minor, still not so easy to sometimes it's not visible. So it has a drawback in the sense that, actually, I will better draw a picture. So if the data F is a nice BV function without noise, the TV minimization, the ROF minimization model should give us U equal F in this case, because the function is already a function of bounded variation. However, in the result for any coefficient lambda, the TV minimization with L2 data fidelity jump to the square will lose something in the intensity here. So actually, we can see this in a numerical result. So if we try to denoise this image using the Rudinoscher-Fantini model, and for some specific coefficient lambda, actually this is true for all coefficients. So this is a U component which looks very well, a denoised version of this. The edges are sharp as expected, but we still see the shape of the square in the V component if you look carefully. So only if you look carefully, we can still see a small BV component from U into the V component. So again, the goal is to try to separate as well as we can cartoon or BV components from oscillatory or texture components. Sorry. So in order to refine this model, the total variation minimization model, so Yves Meyer proposed other spaces instead of the L2 space that is used here for the noise or the oscillatory component. So these spaces are weaker spaces with smaller norms. So therefore, there will be a less strong constraint on the minimizer U, but while keeping the total variation here because it leads to a convex minimization problem. So here I list the three spaces that Niedermayer suggested as refinements of this total variation minimization. Again, the idea is to use slightly larger spaces than the L2 space. I will not have time to go into more motivations of these, of his ideas. I will mention something briefly. So he proposes to decompose images into U plus V by minimizing the sum of these two terms. So this is just the notation for the semi-norm, the total variation of the function U in BV. So still imposing that U belongs to BV and such that V belongs to one of these three spaces. Now the first space, so all these spaces in fact are spaces of generalized functions or of distributions. The first space can be interpreted as something that is close to the dual of the BV space. In fact, it is the dual of W11, so functions in L1 whose gradient also belong to L1. And there are several ways to define this space. So he denoted this space by capital G. This coincides with the space W, so capital G, in fact, can be seen as W minus infinite, which is the dual of W11. And this space W11 is very close to BV. So this would lead to a decomposition of the function f into a component U that belongs to BV and another component V that more or less belongs to the dual of BV. So some complementarity. And this is a larger, so all these spaces are larger than the L2 space. So again, in the space G, one of the definitions can be given by, in the sense of distributions, generalized functions that can be expressed as divergence of G, such that, so in, this is in two dimensions only, such that the components G1 and G2 belong to L infinity, and the norm, in fact, is a dual norm, can be defined in this way. Now he proposed two other spaces to model the texture or the oscillatory component. The second space, the capital F, and so in the second space, what is being done often in harmonic analysis is to substitute the L infinity space by the space called BMO, bounded mean oscillations, and I will give a definition of this space later in a few minutes. And the norm is defined in a similar way. So BMO is a slightly larger space than N infinity, so therefore capital F would be slightly larger than capital G. And the third space that he proposed, his favorite, is to use a Besov space of a negative regularity index, and this is denoted by B minus 1 infinity. But I will give a simple definition of this. So all these spaces that were proposed to model the V component, the texture and the oscillatory component, G, F, and E, are larger than L2. So this we need to use weaker conditions on the minimizers. And for example, if we have some oscillatory function, let's say cosine of nx when n goes to infinity, in these spaces, the norm, when n goes to infinity, the norm of fn in these spaces converges to zero, but for any other LP space with p larger or equal to 1, the norm converges to a constant strictly positive. So it makes sense to use such norms in the minimization model because we want to obtain functions V for which the functional that is used is as small as possible. In practice, we will still work with intersections between these spaces and the space L2. It's not easy to work in practice with distributions or generalized functions. So a joint work with Stan Osher, we have proposed approximations to these, to the model BV and G, to the model BV and G that Niedermayer suggested. But so I should have highlighted again that it is not easy to solve in practice, to realize in practice the ideas suggested by him, And we have proposed some approximations to the BVG model, joint orbits and offshore. And actually, there is a lot of related work. This subject became of much interest to many researchers. And I'd like to highlight the work of Stacy Levine. She is participant in this workshop using duality techniques for cartoon and texture separation. The work of Ali Haddad, also his member in our department. If Mayer, of course, Jerome Gilles, also another PhD student of Yves Meyer. And work that we have done here at UCLA of Treadley and Lin Liu. And also we have seen on Tuesday, I think, the talk by Jean-Luc Stark and with collaborators Elad and Donoho and many others, and especially the work of Jean-François Aujol, Aubert, and co-authors from France. And actually many others. So let's see how much time.
Within 2 and 5 minutes.
Thank you. So I will briefly then, I will not have time to go into more details. So what we have done here at UCLA to propose computational models for realizing practice these minimization models proposed by Yves Meyer. And this is joint work with Treadley, Lin Liu, and the other collaborators that I have mentioned, at John Garnett, Peter Johnson, Yves Meyer, and earlier work with Stanley Upshur, and also with Andres Solen. So, for example, for the case BV and G, when G is defined as divergence of an infinity, so can be originally defined by Yves Meyer, which in fact is this space. So for the space G, if we consider G intersection with L2, it is possible to show that the norm in G can be defined in this way because it is the dual of the space W11. And
how does it relate to L1?
To what? To L1.
L1?
Yeah. Which
G.
G is a larger space. I mean, so we know that G is larger than L2. Let's see. So we have that. I think it's larger than L1. Clearly, G is not included in L1. Contains many functions that are not in L1. So it is possible to show that the norm in G, for example, can be defined as a dual norm, dual with respect to the semi-norm for BV or for W11, with respect to the L2 inner product. So embedding everything in L2 as a Hilbert space, and we compute the dual norm of this of the total derivation. And this can be done numerically. So here, as a BVG equivalent decomposition method, so we can minimize this function with respect to U, the total variation of U, and F minus U, in fact, the G norm for F minus U is given as a maximization problem, as a dual norm, in other words. So this can be done in two steps. We first start with an initial guess U0, and this is joint work with Lin, U, and Treadley. So we start with an initial guess U0. We first then compute, since this is a dual norm, it has an unknown, so to compute in practice this supremum value, an unknown W in BV, we compute a corresponding W that maximizes in practice this expression, then we fix W, then this supremum here disappears at the next step, and therefore we minimize this functional that is now in that has now integral form, integral formulation, and can be minimized again with respect to U that becomes U and plus 1, and we repeat. So here I show numerical results using this model, where F here, so these functions F are decomposed into U plus V. Here I show a fingerprint image decomposed into the cartoon and texture. For denoising, we can also obtain reasonable denoising results and for deblurring as well. However, for denoising and deblurring, this model did not give improvement over the Rudino-Scherfatelli model. The results are very similar in terms of SNR or root mean squared error. We can also generalize the previous idea to compute decompositions of the form phi phi star, but I will not go into the details. When the total variation is substituted by some other edge-preserving functional, and we can here in this calculation, the functional is non-convex, and we can obtain denoising of textured images in this way, for example. Now, so briefly, in the last 2 or 3 minutes, I will briefly mention how we have how we were able to also compute BVF when F is divergence of BMO, and BVE, where is a Besov space, the other two spaces proposed by Yves Meyer. So we have several versions to compute BVF decompositions. We first started in our prior work with Tred Lee, and we have an improvement where, and the idea came from Peter Jones, to express again, to express the norm for divergence of BMO. Actually, let me first mention, so here, I give the definition of the BMO norm of a function f. So this is computed, so if we have a function which is in, which is locally in N1, then we say that the function f belongs to BMO if this quantity is finite, and this quantity, it's again, can be seen as a dual norm. It's a supremum over squares q that are included in the domain of the distance between f and its mean or its median over the square q, so the N1 norm of f minus its mean, and divided by the size of the square. So going back to this, so Peter Jones noticed that the norm of the space f as proposed by Yves Meyer can be written in an equivalent way in this way. So this is just convolution with a Ries potential for alpha equal minus 1, and taking the BMO norm of this. So this leads to, and we can generalize this by taking I sub alpha, so we can define the space BMO alpha of distributions V such that the operator I sub alpha applied to V belongs to BMO. And the operator is given by the Ries potentials, so powers of the Laplacian. So therefore we can transform the initial BVF decomposition into the minimization. So the minimization into this minimization, where we minimize with respect to U in BV, the total variation of U, and the BMO norm of this convolution applied to F minus U. So K sub alpha is the Ries potential. And so I will not go over the details. Again, this involves a maximization with respect to the squares Q, and a minimization with respect to U.
What,
and the
what's alpha again?
Sorry?
What is alpha again?
Alpha is just a parameter. I have so alpha is minus 1 for exactly the space F, divergence of BMO.
So it's,
and we can, yeah, so.
Okay. So the K alpha is smooth.
So K alpha is, yes. Mm-hmm. Here is defined in the Fourier domain.
Can you do that?
Yes. Okay. So so I will not go over the details, and this can be done now numerically using associated order Lagrange equations. And these are numerical results using this model for alpha equal minus 1, the space capital F suggested by E. Meyer. And with another value of alpha, the result doesn't seem to be that good. At least we see more from the phase in the V component. And just in 1 minute, I just want to mention that we were able also to compute numerically BVE decompositions as suggested by Yves Meyer, where capital E is a Besov space. Actually, capital E is this specific Besov space and can be defined through convolutions of the, so a norm of a function in such a Besov space can be defined through convolution. So first we convolve, for example, with a Poisson kernel with some parameter t, and then we take a norm Lp in space, and then we take a supremum and we take an infinity norm in T with some rescaling. So it's not so complicated. So in the end, we have to minimize, we have to minimize the total variation of U with a convolution term here applied to F minus U in LP, but still we have a freedom for the parameter T and we have an N infinity norm in T. So again, this is done through a maximization in T and minimization in U. And using this model, actually, we have obtained a better numerical results for the Barbara image into cartoon and texture. We see less from the face. I'm not sure if I have another one. Actually, I'm done.